love. So, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today on such a good day. It's nice and sunshine outside, and so good to see all the visitors that we have today. And I'm just excited for what's going on in our church. I don't know about you guys, but there's just a level of expectancy that I just feel has been greater than I feel like has ever been before. And I don't know about you, but if you're not in tune, get in tune today. Get in tune today with what's going on with this church. And I believe God is speaking. He's given us vision and clarity. And so I just want us to go right into the word, and I'm going to speak from Habakkuk 2 and 2 and 3. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 to 3. And it says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. In verse 3, it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I want to read that again. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And I believe this is so profound for our church today. And I just want to let someone know that God's vision for us is victory. Come on. Hallelujah. God's vision for us is victory. God's vision for us is victory. Come on. God's vision for this church is victory. In the name of Jesus. And so I want to leave with you vision of victory. Can we all pray? God, we thank you. God, we bless your holy name. God, you're so good. God, you are so great. God, you are so mighty. God, you are awesome. You are all powerful. God, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. God, we thank you, God, for just how great, how good you are. God, we come today with the expectancy that you are going to do something great and mighty. God, we come right now boldly, oh God, giving everything to you, surrendering everything to you. Every distraction, we get rid of it right now. Every struggle, every stronghold, everything that we are dealing with, we leave it at the door right now. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim your love, oh God. I proclaim your peace and your healing and your miracles in this place. In the name of Jesus. And can we lift a voice one more time? Can we lift a voice? Hallelujah. Can we do that some more? God, we give you praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. You may be seated. Just to give you a little history of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you pronounce it, he was an Old Testament prophet, and his book records dialogue between him and God in just three chapters. And if a lot of us have electronic Bibles today, and if we would grab a regular Bible, it would be probably very hard to find the book. And so there's only three chapters, but all throughout the book, in the beginning of the book, he's perplexed, he's confused, he's frustrated, and he questions why God is allowing so much injustice and tragedy and evil from the Babylonians in his nation. And he complained, he murmured, he criticized what God was doing. He didn't understand what God was doing. But he failed to realize that throughout all the chaos in his life, all the chaos in the nation, all the turmoil, he didn't realize that God had a plan the whole time. And so as we live in this day and time, as we see so much evil and so much wrong, perversion throughout the land, and just when we think we've heard it, we hear something that just over defeats that. But I just want to tell someone today, God's vision for us is victory. Come on, God's vision for us is victory. God's vision for us is victory. Just tell your neighbor, vision of victory. Vision of victory. And so as we read on in Habakkuk 1:1-4, Habakkuk cries unto God. He cries out unto God in verse 2, says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. In verse 4, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And so God's plea to God was, why are you letting this go on so long? Why don't you listen? I'm praying. I'm crying out. God, why don't you hear me? Where are you? God, there's violence all over. There's destruction before me. Everything is going wrong. It's not fair. Why God? Why God? Sometimes that sounds like us today, right? Maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but sometimes I wonder, God, what are you doing in this situation? What are you doing in this area of my life, or in this area of the church, or this area of the nation? God, what are you doing? And in verse 5, God answers him and says, behold ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe me, though it be told you, which ye will not believe me, even if I told you. And so God reveals in this section, if you read on, God reveals that the Babylonians will eventually invade. And God reveals that I have a plan. And so I don't know, I was always reading this, I don't know about you, but I just could see so many great things happening in this church that we cannot even imagine. So many things happen in our lives individually that we cannot even imagine. And I was reminded by the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I just want to say again, God has great plans for you. His plans for you is victory. His plans for this church is victory. His plan is victory. If you believe that, can we just clap our hands one more time? In Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And as we read on, Habakkuk cries unto God again after God spoke to Habakkuk in 1:12. And Habakkuk cries out and says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. And so basically what he was saying to God is, God, aren't you all powerful? Are you the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords? Why don't you do something about this? Why don't you just to wipe them out? And sometimes how we are with situations, God, just get rid of it. I don't know what it is, but just get rid of the situation. Get rid of it. I don't know. And that's the human part, but the spiritual part of us is I got to show love. We show love, the love of God. And so, he was questioning God. He was like, God, questioning God, why don't you do something about this? Why don't you do something about this? And this was what he was expressing. He was expressing that there's evil amongst the land. Why are you doing anything, God? And God answers again in Habakkuk 2:2-4. And he says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, it will not be delayed. And so he also says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And God proceeds to tell him that the righteous will be victorious and destruction will come to the evil. I want to say that again. The righteous will be victorious and destruction will come to the evil because God does not tolerate sin. But God tells him to have faith and be steadfast and wait on the Lord. He tells him to have faith and be steadfast and wait on the Lord. And he reminds Habakkuk again what he's already done. He tells Habakkuk, I've already done so many mighty things. I've already brought them out of Egypt. I've already parted the Red Sea. And he reminds him and assures him that he's got it under control. And then God reveals later on that they are causing destruction, that and they will eventually be destroyed. So those that are causing destruction in the land will eventually be destroyed. And as I was reading this, I was thinking that old saying, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Come on, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Come on, he may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. Tell your neighbor he's right on time. Come on, he's right on time. In Jesus' name. And then after Habakkuk hears from God again, this time knowing God will fulfill his plan and will be just And he prays and rejoices in the Lord despite his situation. He prays and he rejoices in the Lord despite his situation. And in Habakkuk 3 and 2, it says, Lord, I have heard thy speech, and this was after God spoke to him, and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Although, in verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be made in the vines. The laborer of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And he says, although all this stuff is going on, yet, in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will make joy in the God of my salvation. In verse 19, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon high places. And I just want to tell someone today, I want to encourage you just today, despite the situation, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, despite the disappointment, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, despite the sickness, through sickness, pain, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, despite the struggle, rejoice in the Lord. Come on, I will bless the Lord at all times, and this praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wonder again if we can just give a big praise to our God one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we shout to God? God, you're good. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And so God reveals to Habakkuk that although this is going on, although this is causing you heartache and some pain, I still have plans for you to have victory. And I want to speak to someone today. God's plans for you is still victory. Despite what you're going through, it's still victory. You got to speak victory over your life. Come on. You got to speak victory over your situation. Come on. Despite what the struggle is, speak victory. Come on. Victory, victory, victory. In Jesus' name. And so as I read through this passage, there's so many applications that we can take from the life of Habakkuk. And so there's so many, but there's a few aspects that I think we can apply to our lives. And number one, we must realize that God loves us. We must realize that God loves us. Scripture says, Romans 8, 38 through 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so thankful for the love of Jesus. I'm so thankful for his grace and mercy. I'm so thankful that nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, from the love of Jesus Christ. And next, we must realize that he will not put more on you than you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, there hath no temptation taketh you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I just like the scripture said, and make it hard and make it tough, but don't give up. Don't give up. You may be challenged, but don't give up, because he won't put more on us than we can bear, in Jesus' name. Do you believe that today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of, despite disappointment, I'm reminded of a story, not a story, but just a situation in my life. When one of my greatest mentors passed away, this was a man that helped me to be who I am today. And he helped me to see the good things in difficult situations and helped me to see good things in people after seeing and experiencing and facing so much wrong. And he was my prayer warrior. He was my supporter. And he pushed me in areas that I was so uncomfortable and I didn't think I could do, but he pushed me and helped me to realize that I was able to. And he was old in age, but he was able to connect with me in many ways. And I remember at times where I would just go over his house and fellowship and bring friends, and some of the young guys would just fellowship with him, and we would just do everything from playing games to have a barbecue. And And just his influence in my life, I was thinking about, I wanted to say, I always tell young people that's why it's so important to have an elder in your life. It's so important to have an elder in your life. And I believe the flip side of that as well. I believe as elders, it's so important to have a young person in your life. We need you. We need you. We need the wisdom and the knowledge. And so, but I remember after he passed, I questioned God. I was like, God, why did you do this? I just learned so much. He was my rock. I don't know what to do. And it was just a sad time for me because we had such a strong connection, and he just helped me out so much. And I remember praying to God and asking God, and I said, God, what am I going to do now? And God revealed to me, he said, with all the knowledge and with all the wisdom that you learn, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And from that day forward, I was like, you know what? I'm going to use this whole situation for the kingdom. I'm going to use everything that I learned, everything that I gained from this relationship. I'm going to use it for the kingdom. And so in every situation, it may seem hard. In every situation that you're facing, every difficulty, everything that's just causing you to waver in your faith, use that for the kingdom. Use that for the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And a couple of other things that we must realize, we have the advantage. Amen. We have the advantage. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. In Psalms 121, I love Psalms 121, 1-2, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And so God, I just want to remind, God is our strength. God is our foundation. No matter what comes against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because God is our strength. God is our strength. We must realize we've already won. Tell your neighbor, you've already won. You've already won. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so God spoke and assured in his word that we have the victory, and he instructs us to walk in victory, speak in victory, and act in victory. And I'm reminded about when the old song I was listening to the other day, victory is mine, victory today is mine, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. I was thinking of the other song, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. And it goes on to say, tell me who can stand before me. You guys know that song, right? Amen. And so I just want to bring that up to remind you, you have the victory. Next, we must realize we have to have faith and realize God's got everything under control. God's got everything under control. Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. And a verse, and then in Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I just want all of us, just take a big breath. Just take it out. Sometimes I have to remind myself and do that and just relax, because God has got it under control. Sometimes we get into a whole frenzy and like, what am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. And I have to just step back and realize God has got it under control. Rest assured, because God has got it under control. He's got it under control. And lastly, we must realize that victory is not just something we say. It's not just something we say. And it's not just something that we shout and jump about. It's not just something we come to church and say and shout and jump about. But it's a mindset. It's a mental decision that we must make every day. It's a constant reminder that no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we have the victory. Come on, no matter what we face, we have the victory. I wonder if we can just stand. Come on, real quick, if we can just stand and just declare that we have the victory. Can we declare that? In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. God, you've given us the victory, and we're so thankful. God, you have given us the victory, and we're so thankful. God, you're so good. God, you've given us the victory. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Come on, can we do that again? Open our hearts. Come on, we open our minds. We have the victory. Come on, speak it over your life. I have the victory. I have the victory, no matter what I go through. Come on. Can we push past this? I have the victory. I have the victory. No matter what I face, I have the victory. No matter what I go through, I have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus' name. Come on, I wonder if we could just linger in this right here. Oh, I feel God moving. I feel God moving in the Spirit resting upon each and every one of us right now. Can we just open our hearts? In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. And Jesus, if we can continue standing. So as I read, as we read throughout this book, I asked the question to myself as I read, why does God allow disappointments? And it hit me, how do disappointments help me? How do disappointments help me? And so if you came here tired, feeling defeated, restless and wanting to give up, confused about situations that are going on, remember, Jesus paid the price, and you have the victory. And not only do you have the victory, but I believe this church has the victory. Come on, I see it, I see it, I see it. This church has the victory. Come on, our current situations do not define our outcome. In Jesus' name, come on, your failures do not define your outcome. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I know we usually pray. I know we usually have a prayer after our morning, man. I know this is a teaching kind of aspect, but I wonder if we can switch our prayer to a praise today. Can we do that? Come on, I believe there's a prayer. I believe there's a praise on the inside of people here that they need to let out today. Come on, you've been holding it in for too long. Come on, let's let that praise out. Come on, let's open up our hearts. Open your mouth. In Jesus' name, oh God, we praise you, God. God, you're so good. Come on, let's push past the ordinary praise that you usually give him. Come on, push past that ordinary praise. Come on, let's step out of our comfort zone. God, we praise you for the victory, God. God, we thank you for the victory, God. God, we have the victory. This church has the victory. Nothing can stand against us. Nothing can stand against this church. Come on, let's open up our mouths and let's declare victory. Come on, let's continue that praise. Let's not stop right now. Come on, let's keep pushing. Come on, let's keep pushing. Push past the ordinary praise. Push past that wall that's hindering you from praise. Let it out. Come on, God wants you to let it out. Jesus. Come on, I wonder if we can just link up with somebody. Come on, let's link up with somebody and just declare victory over their life. You don't know what they're going through, but let's pray for that brother. Pray for that sister and declare victory in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can hinder them because they have the victory. With God, all things are possible. Come on, with God, all things are possible. Come on, with God, you have the victory. Come on, with God, you have the victory! Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's intercede. Come on, intercede right now. Come on, whatever they're going through, God, I pray right now that you help them realize that they have the victory. God, I pray right now that you make known that they have the victory. Come on, let's linger in that a little bit longer. Let's linger in that. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, I speak victory over this church. God, I speak victory over this church. Nothing can stand. Nothing can hurt this church. God, you stand for this church. God, you're with this church. God, this church has the victory. God, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, so when we don't understand it, rejoice in the Lord. When we don't realize it, praise the Lord. When we don't comprehend what's going on, rejoice in the Lord. When we don't realize what's going on, rejoice in the Lord. Last time as we dismiss, can we just do one more praise, one more shout of God, a hand.